It is good to see you tonight in the Lord's house for our evening service. We want to begin with number 525, a well-known hymn, Trust and Obey. For when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Let's stand, please, to worship the Lord tonight. Well, just before we come to seek the Lord tonight in our time of prayer, we left before you a couple of important requests this morning. It had to do with our Whitfield family, the Sinclair family who lost a dear husband and father, and then also Mr. Clark, who is facing serious cancer surgery this Wednesday. And also we heard news of the very sudden passing of the daughter of Mark Kennedy. Now, Mark Kennedy was the former president, really, of the ACSI for Ontario area, and they served faithfully for many years, he and his wife, Ginny. And this past week, just very suddenly, their daughter died in her sleep, and she leaves behind some young children. So please, we want to remember the Kennedy family before the Lord. It seems that these things just come upon us one after another, and it's been a very difficult week for those that we know and are connected with our school ministry. But let's come to the Lord, please, now tonight in our prayer. Father, we are very thankful again for the evening service of the Lord's Day. And at the very commencement of this time, Father, we pray for the ministry of the Holy Spirit again, that we would be conscious of His help and presence in our service. And Lord, we know the promise of our Savior's nearness to us as we are gathered in His name. And so tonight, for this evening time, Lord, once more we give ourselves into Your hand. And we pray, Father, for that very necessary help from heaven, that we might enter in with joy and with thanksgiving, might enter in with all our hearts in praise to Thy holy and precious name. And Lord, we pray that as we come tonight and open the Scripture and gather in prayer for prayer and for reading the Word, that, Lord, we would know, help understanding the Scripture, and that, Lord, it would be applied to our hearts, to our lives. So often we hear, Lord, but maybe we are not listening, and that other times we think we are hearing, but it is not applied effectually to our lives. And therefore, in all these things, Lord, we're asking tonight that we would know that gracious ministry of the Spirit to our hearts. Dear Father, we pray once again for the families that are grieving and suffering the loss and sudden loss of loved ones. We pray for Mrs. Sinclair and for her daughter, that You would comfort their hearts tonight. We pray for Mark and Ginny Kennedy. Lord, in this very devastating news that they have heard of the loss of their daughter, Lord, You would comfort them and bless the young children, bless their grandchildren, and that, Lord, they would have great grace poured upon them. Lord, they would understand that in the great providence of a God who does all things well, they would know comfort poured into them. They would know great peace at this time. And that, Lord, they would see and know that the plan that is mapped out, though foggy and misty at this time, they would have faith to rest and trust that all things work together for good to them that love God, and to them who are the called according to His purpose. So, dear Father, draw near to us now tonight and encourage us. We think of those who are ministering in our sister congregations. We pray for Brother Simon, who is preaching the Word tonight in our Port Hope Church, and we pray for that ministry. We ask, O God, that You would give direction for the future of that work. We pray for other of our fellowships that do not have ministers at this time. You would bless the work in Calgary. You would watch over the work, Lord, in Prince George and in the ministries that are connected with that. We think of the work in Phoenix, Arizona. We ask, dear Father, to just surround all of these ministries with Your love and help and grace at this time. And Lord, as we are seeking for a moving of the Spirit across our nation, we pray, Father, be pleased You to start in us and use this ministry to affect our community And as often we pray for the area of Malvern around us, that, Lord, the fear, your fear would descend upon this place, and there would be great conviction of sin, and that as people are seeking and looking for the answers of life, they would be overwhelmed by the great grace of our God, and they would know that in this place here they might find the answer of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, hear our prayer tonight. Come and draw near to all of the ones in our own congregation who are not well, who are needing a touch, whether facing upcoming surgery or dealing with long-standing health matters. Lord, bless them where they are and encourage and strengthen. Think of our sister Marjorie tonight. And we pray, Lord, that your hand would be upon her to help her in her time of need. Others who are shut in of our seniors, Lord, just bless them abundantly. Father, hear our prayer tonight. Continue to be with us now and encourage us in the gospel. For we pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. We're going to sing Psalm 121 tonight. Psalm 121, let's stand please as we worship the Lord. Word to go out in song, and it's great to hear the congregation of God's people singing. Let me encourage you, never think of these times as just a, well, part of a service that we have to do, stand up, open our hymnal, look at the screen, and go through it. No, this is the opportunity for the congregation to be involved in worship. And this is an opportunity that we might lift our hearts unto the Lord. I to the hills will lift mine eyes, from whence doth come mine help. My safety, my help comes from the Lord, who made both heaven and earth. We're going to read in a congregational reading tonight, the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy, chapter 4 and verse 8. We're continuing in our study today of the verse 1 of chapter 1, verse 21 of the book of Philippians, where the Apostle Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And we are really dwelling on those words, "For me to live is Christ." And when we think of the apostle's life, these words that he were near the end of his life in ministry, Well, you pay attention to how he expressed his faith in Christ, his love for the Lord, and I pray it will be an encouragement to you as well. He is speaking to Timothy, and chapter 4, 2 Timothy, and verse 1. I charge thee therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. What a way to sign off on a life of service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Henceforth, he says, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And Paul said, and he could say with all his heart, that I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. God's will for my life has been completed. It is finished. And dear believer, I hope that when we come to the end of our days, we'll be able to utter with faith and with confidence these very same words, that we will know that God's purpose, God's plan for our life has been completed. We'll be able to lay our head upon the pillow of death and say, I am embracing my death, because in that I am embracing my eternity and the reward that God has for us. For me, Paul says, to live is Christ, and to die, it is gain. May God bless his own precious word to your heart tonight for his name's sake. Welcome to our evening worship service tonight. We're glad that you're here in person, and if you've come back to be with us again, we pray that God's hand would be upon you to encourage your heart. We enjoyed several visitors who were with us this morning in our service, and if you're here again tonight, we want you to know you're very, very welcome in the Savior's name, and also those joining our service tonight online. You are always and again welcome in Jesus' precious name. It's very good to have our brother Ted with us tonight. Ted Glynn. Yes, Ted, don't look around, Ted. That's you. I'm looking right at you. That's right. Ted is 88 years old tonight, this very day. And so, Ted, we are very happy that you're here. And if you're going to come downstairs afterward for the fellowship, we might even sing happy birthday to you. So we hope you'll stay around tonight. But we do pray for our sister Isabel, and we pray and have been praying for Ted. And I know his health, he has some health matters and concerns which are important. And so, brother, we just want to hold you up before the Lord and let you know we're praying much for you. And also, Mrs. Santos Sr., we're very happy that you're with us tonight. And this is again one of those happy and sad times, because we know that you are flying out tomorrow back home. And so we want to know, we pray God's blessing on you as you travel, that he will keep you safe over the ocean and bring you to your destination. And he will continue to bless you there as you go back to visit and to be with your daughter. The Lord's hand be upon you. We've enjoyed having you with us for this time, but you are a jet setter. And we can't keep you down. We can't keep you nailed down in one place. It's over there and then back again overseas. But we want to know we love you in the Lord, and we pray God's hand will be upon you. You probably know that Reverend and Mrs. Kim, they are away this weekend. They are visiting family members away, and so we're happy Mrs. McClellan is back playing the organ again, helping us out there, and that's very, very much appreciated indeed. Please remember that after our time service tonight, we will be having fellowship downstairs, and you are all invited and welcome to be a part of that tonight. On Tuesday evening, the ladies' Bible study on Zoom at 7 p.m. This will be the final Bible study for the season before the summer break. So please be attending in that meeting if you're able to do that. On Wednesday night, there will be a missionary report from a recent trip to Mexico. And so please come along, and I hope you will enjoy and see what exactly the Lord has been doing in that work in Mexico, and I think it will be a blessing to your heart. Now, Thursday evening of this week is a special spring clean for in the church and also on the outside of the grounds, ladies in the church building for the micro cleaning, and outside for all the grounds to do the special cleanup for the men and other jobs we have arranged. So please set that aside from 6 p.m. until dark, and there will be pizza ordered for that night for those who are coming. You might not get your dinner at home, and so we'll be sure that you have something to eat while you're here on Thursday night. And the next Lord's Day, our services, the Sunday school at 9:45. Let me put a plug in again to be sure that everyone is here at good time, 9:45, ready to go for our Sunday school classes for all ages, and we trust the Lord we will maximize this time as well. Please keep in mind on your calendar, June 3rd, 4th, and 5th are special evenings of prayer. That's 7:30 at each of those nights. And on Wednesday evening of that night, on June the 5th, we're going to be having a baptismal service. And this always are highlights. And so please keep that in mind for prayer. And if the Lord has been speaking to your heart for baptism, tonight is the final meeting to tell me so that I can speak to you about that. And then next Lord's Day evening after the service, we'll be having a meeting with those people who are going to be baptized for some important instruction. So please keep that in mind. Then don't forget these important dates. On June the 14th is a Friday night, and that's going to be the ordination of Brother Maher Lewis as he is ordained and installed as an elder here in this congregation. And we're looking forward to Reverend Stephen Pollock, who's going to be coming up from Malvern. He's the clerk of our presbytery. He'll be speaking at the meeting that night and really overseeing it. This is a presbytery meeting, and it's not strictly a meeting that is organized by our congregation because it has to do with ordination. And so it's important. We hope that everyone in the congregation will come along that night to support our brother Maher and also just enjoy the good time and the meeting that evening. And then the Saturday following that, on the 15th, will be our Highland Creek outreach. And there is a paper to sign up out in the foyer if you'd like to be a part, even come for an hour and sign your name on that list. And Brother Kingsley Jew's overseeing that, and he'll be sure that you are put to work there. We're going to sing a hymn that we sang in our prayer meeting a few weeks ago, and it was written by the late Reverend John Bodner, "For Me to Live is Christ." And when I saw this title, because I was speaking on this tonight, I thought, well, it was so fitting. And we appreciate our brother, our sister Rebecca Simon. She wrote this particular tune. I asked her to write this music for this hymn. And so we're going to ask the instruments to play through two verses of the hymn, because they're short verses, to play through the music for two verses, and then we will stand. We're just going to remain seated, and we'll sing this hymn through. We will stand for the final two verses of this. So let's watch the words and listen to the music. To slow that right down so that we can get an idea of that tune. So let's play that through again. All right, let's try to sing verse one. Let's please speak in unison the final two verses. Let's say as a congregation together, we will stand and speak these words together. Triune God, I hence may ever live. Amen. You may be seated. Please turn with me again in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Let's please read from verse 19 to 21, just these three verses. Philippians chapter 1, The apostle is dealing here with, well, those who had somewhat rejected his ministry, and he was spreading forth his resume before them. And yet, he says here in verse 19, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation." He's speaking about whether people speak of Christ in a positive way, if they are trying to promote the Lord, or if they're trying to do it to injure the gospel. Paul said, "I rejoice that my Lord is preached. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Let's bow, please, before the Lord now in prayer. Father, as we turn now with the Scripture open to this verse of Scripture, I pray, Lord, it will be written on every one of our hearts. And I pray our minds will be open to receive this truth. And that, Lord, I will know the help of the Holy Spirit in speaking this word faithfully and clearly. Lord, sometimes there are things in Scripture that are hard to understand. And at other times they seem to be very clear, and yet there is a depth of meaning that we don't want to miss. And I pray, Lord, tonight that we will have a grasping of the gravity of the Scripture before us. And Lord, write it upon our hearts, I pray tonight. Bless the word to every soul. We pray now in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. This morning in our service, we were thinking about the all-consuming philosophy of the life that governed and that motivated the Apostle Paul when he used these words and said, "For me to live is Christ." This was the real reason for his living from his conversion all the way until the Lord took him shortly after those words we have read tonight also that are written in 2 Timothy, where he says, "There is a crown of righteousness laid up for me." Nothing else really mattered in Paul's life. And I don't mean by that he was some kind of a weirdo. He wasn't some kind of a person who you couldn't sit down and have a conversation with. I believe that men of God have a sense of humor. And the Apostle Paul was not someone who did not breathe out the warmth of the presence of Christ. He could have a conversation. He could sit down and talk to people. He knew what it was to relate in the humanness of the individual problem and people that were going through the stresses of life. He was not an oddball, but he was a man who knew where he stood in Christ's economy, in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. And he knew what it was to at one time be on a trajectory of destroying Christians and trying to terminate what was the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. But all that had changed now, and he knew that he was saved, and he knew that his purpose was not to make a name for himself, Now, he wasn't out to trying to map out a career, not that a career is a bad thing at all, don't get me wrong, but he was not trying to establish some kind of entity or name or purpose or reputation for him of himself. No, his life now was for a purpose. It was to live for his master. It was to live for his Lord. The one thing that consumed him and that gave him a reason for living was that his life was now to bring honor to his Lord. What can I do to forward Christ's eternal kingdom would always have been in the forefront of his mind. I've been saved now from hell, and I know I have eternity in front of me, and I know that the gift of everlasting life is mine. Now I want to be an advertisement for what Jesus has done for me. We have been thinking today about the loss in the Sinclair family. Mr. Sinclair had become increasingly ill over the last month specifically. He was a relatively young man in his 40s. And we know he has now left behind a young girl, a daughter, Eliana, grade 5. But his dear wife wrote back to the school after she was reporting of the death of her husband. And she said that her daughter said this when she heard the news: "Now my dad is with Jesus and he is not in pain anymore." And those words from the lips of a child having to face the loss of her beloved father is that which can come from childlike faith, from someone who knows Christ as her own Savior. And this was the result of the testimony of her father, of the training and the bright testimony that Mr. Sinclair had as he taught his daughter the higher purpose of life and what it means to live a life that is devoted to Christ. Now, we all know that we are sinful people. We all know that we are not perfect on this side of heaven. But the goal to be aimed for is to leave behind us in the wake of our life, in our testimony, something like that could be left by a Mr. Sinclair to his dear wife and to his daughter, and the testimony that she bore: "I know that my dad is with the Lord Jesus, and I know he is no longer in pain." And so she can rest in that. Will there be times when she is at grief? Of course there were. Will there be times when she'll be sad at the loss of her dear dad? Of course there will. And we will continue to pray and uphold that family for them and for him. To live is Christ, and for him to die is now gain. We thought this morning of some idea of what it means to speak a word like that. And for the Apostle Paul, he knew it was a personal word for him. For he said, "For me." And salvation is a personal matter for all of us. And we will come to embrace Christ as our Savior. We will then follow him in our life as our shepherd. And we will crown him as the sovereign and king of our life. And we will say, "Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life." Having such a declaration, it means that we know our position in the Lord Jesus, that we have been saved by His grace, that we have been taken from under condemnation for our sin, and we have been placed in the position of justification because of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary. You know, when we think about that, and I mentioned this morning, and I emphasized that because of the work of Christ, there is no longer any sin that is laid to our charge, that we are free. And the Apostle Paul speaks in Romans 8, and he says that we are already glorified through what Jesus has done. But you know, quite frankly, as Christians, sometimes we find that a little bit hard to understand and to really grapple with. And why is it? Because, well, you and I know, we know our own hearts, and we know our own failings. And we know where we have disappointed the Lord. And so when we think of our position before God, He looks upon us as being sinless. Yet you and I, we look upon ourselves as being sinful. And we know our failures. And we know our faults. And we also think, what about someone who professed faith in the Lord Jesus? You may know of them. And yet today they're not walking with God. They've backslidden away. What about their profession? Where does all that fit into what we say about in Christ we have been totally forgiven of our sin? Friends, this is part of the mystery of the gospel. But it's so clearly taught in the Scriptures that you and I have to come to receive that truth by faith, and yet also deal with the other truth that speaks of our progress in sanctification, and that we are told not to yield our members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but we are to yield ourselves as instruments of righteousness unto righteousness and truth. But we still deal with our failures, don't we? And the truth of it all is that as Christ has died for us, and we see our position firmly grounded and anchored in Him, nothing can change that. Nothing can take that salvation away from us. But we are on the journey of our sanctification in the will of God, and we are becoming more and more like our Lord Jesus. Does that mean that if you have this understanding of being totally forgiven, that you might think to yourself in some sort of a twisted way, hey, this is like a win-win. I can go out and sin, and I can do what I like because Christ has already paid for my sin. My dear friend, if that thought enters your mind, there is something much deeper of a root problem in your heart. Because no justified Christian will think like that. There is no way that we're going to willingly engage in some sin because we think, oh, Jesus has paid the debt for us and now I'm free. Because I would hasten to add that the devil has deceived you into thinking you are saved when you're really not. And that's why we're told in the Scriptures to make our calling and our election sure. And how will you do that? You will dig around the foundation of your faith, and you will do some good digging of your own to be sure that you are indeed standing upon the foundation of Christ. For other foundation can no man lay than what is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And so, believer, if you have the witness of the Holy Spirit of God abiding in your heart, if you have the witness of Christ in you, then you belong to Him. You love Him because He has first loved you. You will stumble as I do. You will commit grievous things against the Lord as I have done. But you will come to the Lord again and you will say, Lord, wash me and clean me afresh. because I am cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And 1 John chapter 1 is such a precious portion of the scripture. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And the truth of that verse is that it keeps on cleansing. And that's the great truth of the gospel hope for us. So friend, if you have this standing in the Lord tonight, you know your position is sure. We also concluded this morning by realizing that we have a purpose and a life to live on purpose, and we most definitely want to do that for the honor of the Lord. So let's continue tonight and draw some more thoughts from this verse that I hope will be a blessing to you. To live Christ is to live our Christian life with passion. It is to live with passion. Now, many folks have passion for things they are interested in, and you don't have to go very far to prove that, but you might be in a sports arena and listen to the cheers and the chants of those fans that are cheering for their team. Or maybe on the darker side, you might be listening to the loud shouting and protest of encampments and how they are excited and angry because they believe in a cause and they are passionate about it. But the passion that we are speaking about here in the Christian life, it is the deep and stirring of the heart and mind that is brought by the change from within that has taken place in us. It is a passion that burns with a holy determination not to defile our lives or do anything that would bring dishonor to the cause and to the person of our Redeemer. And so this passion that we're speaking about here, that is, I believe, inexorably linked together with that very statement, for me to live is Christ, I can't be melancholy about that, you know? I can't say, oh yeah, for me to live is Christ, what's next on the agenda? No, that's not the way it is. The way it is for us as believers, if we are committed to the Lord, we have a heart for God. We have a heart for His Word. We have a heart for the things that are pleasing to the Lord, and we want those things to be in our life. We don't want to be just ho-hum Christians. We don't want to be believers that are just sort of, well, yeah, maybe I can take a little bit of Christianity, a little bit of this, and I'll live my life over here to my full satisfaction. I would say to you, friend, tonight, if that is in your heart or mind, you might begin to again ask yourself some hard questions, and you might wonder, is there more of the world in my Christianity than there is of Christ in my Christianity? It's a good question to ask, because if we do not have a passion for the Lord and a passion for His things, then there is a desire, there is a need for us to say, Lord, please grant that to me. Oh, let's pray for that. Let's pray it will be increased in our life. I want to say that passion in the Lord, it's not something irrational or uncontrolled. Sometimes people think, and this comes out more perhaps in the charismatic movement, in those circumstances where people sort of lose control of themselves and they become sort of all frenzied about Jesus. I'm not talking about that at all, because this is a rational and it is a controlled power the passion that I'm speaking about for Christ. If I could give you a little illustration, it would be something like what goes on the inside of an internal combustion engine. Because you see, gasoline or fuel is injected through the carburetor, through the fuel injector, into the cylinder of the engine. And then when the spark is ignited, the fuel and air mixture, it explodes. So we're dealing with something that is of explosive power, but it is inside the cylinder of the engine. And so that explosive power, as those gases are ignited, they expand rapidly. And when they expand rapidly, the piston in the cylinder is pushed downward. And when the piston is pushed downward, the crankshaft is being turned. And the turning of that crankshaft connected to your transmission gives you power through and to your wheels of your vehicle. But that explosive power is under control. Because if it wasn't under control, it would be very dangerous. If you have an open canister or tray of gasoline and you drop a match into it, it's going to be something that ignites very rapidly, very explosively, and then everything around it will also catch fire, and you will be in a problem. The passion that we are talking about is the power of the Spirit of God within the life of the individual Christian, and it is governed by the Holy Spirit, and it is channeled, it is directed for the God-given purpose that it has. And so when this passion flows through us and flows in us, it brings about something. It brings about within the life of the Christian the joy of the Lord. It brings about the working of the works of God. It brings about that which glorifies God through the life of the individual Christian. And we are to be vessels that are filled with the passion, the heart desire for the Lord and for His work. And when that takes place within a Christian, I say to you, believer, there will be a life of satisfaction toward the Lord. And I would say the word complete satisfaction, because when God's will is being unfolded in us and through us, and His Spirit is working in us, and we have the power and the passion of God to fulfill His work and His will, remember, it's controlled. It's not something that is randomly just going out there, but it's going to be in the day-to-day operation of the Christian's life. That is honoring to the Lord, and that is satisfying for the Christian. And when the Lord says the joy of the Lord is our strength, then we will pray, well, Lord, give me that joy, I pray, in the midst of many life circumstances that might not be so joyful, but let me have your joy, which will be in my life, working through me. It will give us a contentment. We know that godliness with contentment is great gain. Romans 15, verse 13 speaks of joy and peace in believing. And 1 John chapter 1 and verse 4 tells us that what John wrote unto the Christians, he wrote unto them that their joy would be full. And so as we pray for the power of the Spirit of God to be in us that we will know this satisfaction of the Lord, and there would be a linking to that, a heart of supplication, of praying. We are called to be praying always, and we do this with our eyes closed and with our eyes open, a life of prayer, ready against all temptations. For the more that we are walking and praying and communing with God, the devil will not be able to get into our life with his subtleties and his temptations. We will be therefore ready to witness. Are we not called to be ready to give an answer to every man that asks us a reason of the hope that is in us with meekness and fear? We'll be ready to meet those sudden alarms, those sudden trials, those pressures of life. And especially maybe after you've had some blessing from the Lord, we always warn ourselves and warn the congregation, look out, because the devil may have something plotted in your pathway to try and make us stumble and fall. But as we are rejoicing in the Lord, as we are walking in his will, as we are rejoicing in his word, well, we are ready for those temptations and those things brought against us. I want you to notice another thing, that to live Christ is to have pleasure in him. Well, we've been talking about the joy of the Lord being our strength. And it's connected with that because, you see, when we have pleasure in God, the Lord is glorified through his people. We are to find our ultimate pleasure in the Lord. When we were unsaved, where do we find our pleasure? Well, we found it in the world. We found it in the things of the world. We found it in all the sinful pleasures and practices that the world finds their joy and purpose in. But when we have been brought to Christ, we are under new ownership, new management, and we have a new perspective on life. Yes, I mentioned this morning in the words of Christ, we are in the world, but not of the world. And it means, and Christ meant, that we are not to find our fulfillment, our joy, our pleasure in the things of this world. That's easier to be said than it is to be done. And believer, it's all part of what we were mentioning earlier about knowing where we stand in our position and about the passion that we have for Christ. If there is within our hearts a burning passion for the glory and honor of Christ, I would suggest to you that those temptations of the world will find a much greater difficulty attaching themselves to our life. There are things that attach themselves to boats that travel in certain waterways. There are zebra mussels, different types of things, and they can actually cause a great deal of damage if they get to the intake of the motor on the boat and or the underside of the boat. They attach themselves, they slow the boat down. It's not very efficient in the water. But actually, if the hull of the boat is waxed, and it's waxed with a very strong marine wax, that will not allow those muscles to be able to attach themselves to the boat because they just slip off. They can't find anything to attach to. And that's the way our life is to be as a Christian. We are to have the hull of our life well waxed so that the stuff of the world doesn't stick to us. And as we are going through our day-to-day walk and we find our pleasure in the Lord, the pleasure of this world will not be attractive to us. But that's a battle, and it's a fight. And there will be times when you will have to specifically pray over that temptation, over that thing that is an attraction to you that you're drawn to. And you're going to have to say, Lord, you must deal with that particular thing in my life because I find myself being drawn to it. I find myself succumbing and have fallen to that temptation. And when you pray about that matter, it is the will of God that you are not taken by that temptation. It's God's will that I am not taken by the temptations of the devil. And when we make that our prayer, God is pleased with such a prayer, and He will answer that prayer in our life, and we will find our pleasure in Him is just multiplied. Believer, maybe you're here tonight in the meeting, maybe you're listening online, and your heart might be cold tonight before the Lord. And you're saying honestly to yourself, you're saying, really, I find more pleasure in the things of the world than I do in reading my Bible. I find more pleasure in movies than I do in getting alone with God. And I say to you, friend, I don't know your relationship before the Lord. Are you truly saved or not? But if you are genuinely born again, maybe there have been a period of time where the devil and the world has just seemed to have swamped your vessel. Well, it's time to bail the world out of your ship. Get the water out. And let your vessel of your Christian testimony rise high again on the lake. That you might know the joy of the Lord restored you. It may well be that Psalm 51 needs to be a prayer of your own heart. It was David's penitential psalm after he had sinned against the Lord, and he had to pray that unto the Lord, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Lord, I want to know your pleasure again. I want to have my life being to the Lord's pleasure." And there may be some steps that need to be taken. But do not be discouraged, believer. There is hope, because it is God's will that we are not in the world nor consumed by it. It is God's will that we follow Him and we delight in Him. Well, let me move on. Because to live Christ is to praise Him. We know well the catechism question of man's chief end. It is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And let that be the praise of our life. One commentator wrote, "Even as Christ's body gave him the capacity to live and die for us, so Paul's body presented to him an opportunity to live or die so as to glorify the Lord Jesus." And God gives to us a body whereby we are able to live and to die for His praise and for His honor. And we will praise the Lord through our holy worship. I've already mentioned in the service about what it means when we join as a congregation in singing. Sometimes our singing is better than others. Well, we have to sometimes get to know pieces of music or hymns a little better. But always in our holy and sacred worship, it is the word that we are singing and communicating that is the message that we want to convey. We are offering those praises to God through the words that we are singing. And therefore, it's important in our hymns, in the Psalms, to have the content that is solidly biblical. And that's why I so rejoice in Reverend Bodner's hymns, because they are, all of them, very solidly doctrinal and scriptural hymns. Our worship is to be holy unto the Lord. We are limited by our nature, but God, by His great mercy, accepts our worship as limited as it is. And we want to give all the praise and all the honor and all the glory that we can offer to Him here on earth. Because when we get to heaven, we will have the opportunity, the privilege of worshiping the Lord with an unsinning heart. It will be perfect praise then. It will be singing unto the Lord the words of God and unto Him with all joy and all thanksgiving. Our worship then will be absolutely holy. But it doesn't mean to say that our worship on earth is not holy now. It indeed is holy, and it is sanctified through the Holy Spirit as we offer it from hearts that have been redeemed, as we offer it from hearts that are willing and walking and worshiping the Lord in that way. And not only will there be holy worship, but for the child of God, we want to have a willing service. We often sing, "Our service for God has been barren and dry, and barren it shall remain until we are blessed with that fire from on high, the sound of abundance of rain." And is speaking, of course, of spiritual rain. Well, we are praying that we will have a service in our heart and life that is consecrated unto the Lord. Mr. Spurgeon wrote, "What is wanted in the service of Christ is the same unity of purpose which has ruled all men who have won the object for which they lived." And that means those that have won Christ and have a desire in their heart to live for Him. Another commentator wrote, "A life is complete, whether long or short, that fulfills the purpose of its creation. And the longest life is incomplete and a failure if it does not do the work for which it was made. It is better to die in youth with a life unspotted than to live on to old age in sin and crime." So yes, friend, Mr. Sinclair, a short life lived, but a life lived to the honor of God. Far better than a long life lived that is full of the enjoyments of this world and that has not glorified the Lord. We know so very little about suffering, really, for Christ. What have we given up for Him, for His church, for the body of believers? Well, we want our praise to be glorious for Him. And I close with this one tonight. It is living for Christ meant even more in eternity for the apostle, for he said, "To die is gain." All we know of life is what we know here on earth. We are of the earth, we are dust of the ground, and we sometimes think of death as just a termination, the absence of activity or of consciousness. But Paul very clearly declared that to die for him was an increase. It was something better. He was going to receive something more. Death was gain for him. Because for the Christian, the day of our death is the day when we begin our life for eternity. What did Paul mean when he said to die is gain? How would you define that type or that gain? Well, I suggest to you it was gain because he was now beholding the glory of God. He now saw his Lord Jesus in person, in glory. He saw the face of Jesus Christ. And John tells us that when we will see him, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And what else did Paul gain? He gained in his knowledge of Christ. Wasn't that always his plea? He said, oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul was always desiring to know more of the Savior, and so that's our desire. But believer, when we get to heaven, that gain of our knowledge of Christ will be so much more . It enabled him to persevere in the times of extreme suffering. It gave the apostle during his life, knowing what he was going to gain, it gave him a great deal of calmness through his trials. Remember the time he was beaten and left for dead outside of the city? And the other disciples came standing around him, and they thought they were going to have a burial. And all of a sudden, Paul got up. He shook himself, got up. And he went with them and they left. Paul was able, it seemed, to shake off many of those trials in calmness. And he was a man who was filled with the love of Christ in his heart. All of these things he knew he was going to gain, and those blessings in glory. He would also gain in the sinless fellowship he would have with other redeemed sinners. That's going to be great in glory. We enjoy fellowship one with another here. We're going to enjoy it in a few moments downstairs afterward. And we delight in that. And we are happy. Believer, you should be happy with the fellowship of other Christians. And we do delight in those things. But when we get to glory, our delight and the gain we will have there will be so much more, because we will not have our sinful nature to deal with. And all the things of earth will be put behind us, and all the things that troubled us, they will be gone. I wonder, as we conclude tonight, have you, believer, consecrated your life to the Lord Jesus? If not, now is the time to do that. We are foreigners and we are strangers here on the earth. This is our temporary home. Our citizenship is in another place. And we look toward the place where the Lord has prepared for us. And all we say, oh, that the Savior would be magnified in our life, for we have only one life to live, and it will soon be passed. And it's only what is done for Christ that will last. And therefore we say, let us lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, and thieves cannot break through and steal. I pray that the Lord would write his word upon our hearts tonight. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, we pray that now you would part us in your fear with your great and rich blessing for those that have to go from us now, and take them to their way and their homes safely. Bless our fellowship downstairs. Lord, help us to rejoice in the company one with another. Lord, we pray for Mrs. Santos, that you would go in front of her tonight, and she travels tomorrow. Bless her as she goes back to her home. We are so thankful that Rose is back with us from China tonight, and we'll ask, Lord, for your continued blessing upon her and upon David as well. You would just hear our prayers for everyone in our fellowship. Lord, we would rejoice one with another, and we would let this word dwell richly in us, and we will mix it with faith, and you will strengthen us, Lord, so that we will say, For me to live is Christ, yet to die is gain. Hear our prayers now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.